Welcome to the Canine Classroom, a podcast for dog training professionals and dog enthusiasts where we discuss training, behavior, and everything in between. We're two friends and dog trainers that share a passion for dogs. We're constantly learning, exploring, and questioning each other's ideas as well as our own so we can become better at what we do. We're here to provide helpful advice, have open conversations, ask questions, get answers, as well as hear from colleagues and experts in the industry, regardless of method and training style. So take a seat and get your notepad out because class is in session. We're back, everyone. It's been a little bit. Today we have Valentine. I don't know how to say your last name again. What was it? Komisarek?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Komisarek. You did not fuck it up the worst.
One for me. There we go.
Perfect.
I don't know. We wanted to have you on because I know we both follow you on Instagram. I love following your puppy adventures with your border collie. What's your border collie's name again? I forget.
So his full name is Elliot Stabler. He's named after SVU, but we just call him Ellie. Like Elliot spelled E-L-L-I, but it's pronounced like E-L-L-I-E.
Okay.
We just call him puppy, honestly.
Why don't you tell everyone a little bit about who you are and what you do first before we begin?
Alrighty. So I'm Val. I own a dog training company. I mostly do behavior mod. But I also do a lot of GRC. I both compete with my dogs and I'm a certified judge. I have a club here called Technicolor GRC. And yeah, that's kind of my general shtick. Always kind of trying to do new dog training fun things.
What for those maybe who are listening that don't know what GRC is, maybe you can explain that, because actually we've kind of talked about JJAC a little on here. We've probably talked about GRC a little bit, but we've never actually had someone on who is a judge or someone who's really like immersed in it like you. So maybe you could tell everyone a little about what it is.
So GRC is a dog sport. The name GRC stands for Gameness Relationship Control. And it was invented by JJAC, who you mentioned, who's a really good dog trainer. And he kind of specializes in bully breeds and especially like behavior mod with those dogs. And so he basically built this whole sport that it's kind of like founded in the classic pit bull game. So wall climb, treadmill races, weight pull, spring pull. But because of the dogs he was working with and because of the type of training he does, he added not just like those games are usually testing more their gameness, right? Like how committed are you? How drivey are you? Like how intense are you? The difference with the way that GRC does those sports is there's an added element of control. There's an added element of like both handler control, but also emotional control. Like there's an emphasis on being able to switch arousal states. And in order to actually participate in those games, you also have to pass a social responsibility test. And what that test does is it tests some like more like classic dog sport type skills. Like there's an obedience section where you have like precision obedience, like a middle, a front, a down. But it adds on sections that are more focused on the dog's ability to make good choices at liberty on their own. So there's a first section that's the dog's ability to make good choices at liberty on a short leash, especially like around like greeting people, navigating tangles, things like that. And then the last section of that test is literally just 2 minutes of your dog in a back tie. Ideally with no input from you, just, you know, not doing anything stupid. The column liberty section.
I was curious because I actually saw a bunch of videos recently on that. So are all the dogs back tied, or is it just if they feel that the dog might be a little reactive or has certain like maybe issues of some kind?
So for the liberty section specifically, If the ring is fully enclosed, then they are off leash. If the ring
Okay.
is not like 100% enclosed, they're on a back tie. There's also a back tie during the obedience section because there is a part where the dog is expected to hold it down while the handler greets a neutral dog. And so, in case they fuck up.
Makes sense. Are you doing so are you doing like any GRC stuff with your puppy right now?
So a lot of his upbringing is very GRC. Like one of the things Jay is really well known for is like window theory, this idea of like putting different expectations on cues. So for example, like there's a cue for play with me or work with me. There's a cue for like you're free, but like you need to chill. There's a cue for like go find your own fun, be crazy, whatever. And so I definitely wrote a lot of my training in that, as well as his upbringing. A lot of his upbringing has also obviously been like very play-based. I mean, A, because of the way that I train, and B, because border collie, he could starve himself for 5 days, but no ball, no fun.
Yeah, I would imagine like I'd imagine some of the things like especially the window theory stuff is probably super beneficial for especially a dog like that who seems very enthusiastic and
Yeah.
drivey or pushy.
It's been very helpful for helping him be a dog who actually gets to like hang out and have a life and not just be a dog that comes out, works, goes in the box.
Is that your first border collie or no? Or like first, is it your first herding dog?
No, so I have a 9-year-old Aussie. She comes from like show lines, but like drivier show lines. She was my first herding dog. She's kind of a bitch.
Tell me how you really feel.
She's the love of my life because of what a bitch she is. I did ask if I could swear, and I
Yeah,
love to
she did. She messaged.
swear when I talk
Yeah, Vinny, she messaged me before. She was like, "Can I swear on this thing?"
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, I mean, she is the perfect dog except for being nervy and biting people and dogs. So I was like, how do I get something that's kind of like her, but isn't going to be dangerous and also more stable and also more drive? So.
Have you, so I'm curious, like, have you found that, I guess working with all the clients that you work with, using a lot of, because I know you do use a lot of Jay's stuff, you find that it's benefiting this puppy the same as maybe, especially like the bully breeds you've worked with before that you do this stuff with, or do you find that, you need to add other elements in for this puppy. Like, I'm curious what your thoughts are. It's just simply because, like, I know I've watched a bunch of the videos and you and I've chatted a little. So I know that, like I said before, he's very enthusiastic as a puppy and real pushy, like a typical, like, really like pushy border collie would be. So I'm just kind of curious, like, what your experience is with this dog and some of the stuff that you do.
So with him specifically, I mean, so he's a working line border collie. He comes from cattle herding lines, so he's quite pushy for a border collie. So especially for him, this stuff has been really helpful because I do find that he's like less sensitive than a lot of border collies I've met. Which I like. That's also why I got a kettlebred dog. But I would say a lot of that stuff has been really helpful for a lot of the behavior mod herders that I meet, because like I train pet dogs, so it's mostly behavior mod. I mean, that stuff also really helped Frankie because my Aussie, because like she's a drivey little asshole that was putting it in all the wrong places, and I was not very clear or fair with her before, understanding this stuff, which made her very bitchy. So a lot of the stuff has been really helpful for her. But yeah, I mean, I do tend to end up with a lot of herding breed clients just because I love them. And one thing I would say that is like a little bit different about the herders versus the bullies is I would say because I actually like mentored under Jay for like 2.5 years and I was just there bothering him every week. And I would say one One of the things that I would say I train a little bit different with the herders versus the bullies, I feel like the bullies are a lot more comfortable if you're just like, this is what I want, this is how I want it, like here are my parameters, we're gonna do this a few times, you're gonna figure it out, and like just follow me. I find with the type of herders I work with, they kind of need a little bit more room to like think and kind of figure things out. Like they still want direction for sure, but there's a little bit more like problem solving on their own that I find they like to do and that they learn faster with. I mean, they're also like most of them are a little bit more sensitive than the bullies.
Except if you have a cattle bred dog.
Yeah, he's a
Fine.
little bit of a dick, but we love him.
Do you
Lots.
find so? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh no, I was just gonna talk about how he loves to just like hang off of my lab scruff and just like pull him around our entire yard. It's great. Sunny does kind of look like a cow.
So, what's like, I guess, what's an example maybe of what you might choose to do a little differently, like with a herder versus a bully breed?
Sure. So before I met Jay, I was doing a lot of more like shaping type things because I had a herder. I haven't really done a lot of shaping with bullies. The ones that I have done it with, I find that it's more of like a frustration tolerance exercise for them. They're like, just tell me what you want and give me the thing. Like, what are we doing? I find with the herders, like even things like I started like teaching puppy a middle because eventually he's gonna go for his SR1. And like if I was teaching a bully, I'd just be like, here's what middle is and do this, and then you get the thing. And they'd be like, okay, cool, got it. Versus with him, it was a little bit more like, all right, like this is the wrong position. I'm gonna like help guide you a little bit, but then like wait you out and see, are you gonna figure out the position? Okay, like if I'm rewarding you from here, will you figure it out on your own, or do I have to actually like show you? And like he likes that. Like he likes using his brain in that way and like having that room to think. I find that with him and also with my Aussie, if I'm just really like, this is the pattern, this is what we're doing, they kind of tune out and they're a little bit like, okay, whatever, like this is kind of boring. Versus if they kind of get to participate more actively with their little neurotic brains.
It's making me laugh because I had a friend's Malinois here recently, and she goes, the owner goes, so yeah, I didn't really do a lot of shaping with the dog, so I was like, oh, all right. But I figured, okay, maybe the dog did a little shaping before, so I don't remember what I was shaping, but I was shaping something, and the dog just fucking was staring at me the whole time. Like the dog was just like, I don't know, like what you're doing, but I just need you to tell me what to do. Whereas like, I'm so used to my dogs, especially my female Quest, who's like, you know, she's a working Kelpie, and she's just like super snappy and is like, you know, to the point where it gets a little annoying sometimes because she'll just offer shit like constantly, right? Which is, I guess, like one of the downsides sometimes to shaping. But it was just so funny because like that particular dog really hadn't been shaped before, and it was just really more about, hey, can you just show me what to do here and I'll be fine, versus like just trying to shape. It was just kind of funny. And so as you were saying that, I'm just thinking of that dog like just staring at me in the face like, so what are we doing here? 5 minutes has passed, you know. So, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I feel like that's also like a human thing. Like some people as students are like, just give me the information. Like I just want to know. Versus other people, like when you're like trying to explain something to them, they'll like complete your sentence and be like, is it this? Is it this? Like depending on who you are as a teacher, that can be really annoying or like really fun.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense. What about you, Vinny? Because I know you dealt with a lot of stuff with like with Spencer, and I think you did a lot of Jay's stuff with him specifically, right?
Yeah, Spencer's the reason why I got in contact with someone that I knew worked with Jay. Or actually, no, I'm getting the timeline wrong. I luckily reached out to Jen Banks. I don't know, I'm sure you know her too, right?
close. I think she's like 40 minutes away from where I live.
Okay.
Oh, that's
Yeah,
nice.
so I had reached out to her and she put me on to Jay, and the stuff that he was talking about just changed everything. Like, it really helped. Because Spencer was just like aroused all the time, just always in a state of arousal, and like reward-based training was just like getting him, like pouring gasoline on a fire. Like, it was just like getting him so much more jacked up. And then, you know, some of the punishment-based stuff that I had learned way in the past would just amp him up also. Like, it would just get him like angry and mad and almost like, hell yeah, bro, like we're fighting now. Like, this is great also. Like not in the way, like most times when people are thinking about like prong collars and stuff, they're like, oh my God, it's so horrible, it's like shutting down the dog. But like, until you meet the dog that like almost it's like getting them fueled up, then it's like okay, well, I felt like I had nothing. I was like, I don't know what else to do. And I really liked his liberty stuff. Like, that just like really, I applied that to almost everything. Because having a dog like in a constant state of like working for something is just, well, looking back on it, it's almost like evil. Like, it's not even ethically right when you have a dog that'll just keep working, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's exhausting. Like, I'm like that as a human. Like, my brain is always just fucking going. And if you don't learn to turn it off, it turns into like anxiety and like neurosis. Like, it's not
Oh
fun.
yeah. Oh yeah. I haven't learned how to turn it off yet, so no. And
I pretend like I
you
have, but you
know
know.
what? And maybe it's that personality that made me do so. I didn't have Spencer. Spencer is actually my girlfriend's dog, so I wasn't really involved with him until later on. Like, I didn't raise him as a puppy. I wasn't around him for the first years of his life. But the dog, you know, we've talked about this at length on this, but like Baloo is like that. Like, he liked to work and shaping and like very much like Quest, where he's the more excited he gets, the more bouncy he gets, the more he's offering things. And then that's when I got Zim, I was like, what the fuck is this? Because like, the more amped he gets, and it's good for certain things, but then it bites me in the ass at other things. Like, if he is super motivated, he just gets stiff as a rock and won't move. Like, he'll just get still and lock. And I'm like, this is weird. I thought if I amped you up, it would make you do things quicker, not slower. And then it was like, I had to then just like, you know, change everything again. Like, all right, like I gotta work with this.
I mean, Zim almost sounds like a border collie where like the more excited he gets, the more he just like
He
stalks you.
locks. Yeah, he stalks, like super stalky. And until I use pressure, like once he knows it, and then this is kind of leading into something I wanted to ask you, is like, once he then knows what it is you want from him, he then like super leans into it, sometimes almost too much. So then it was like, when I was first training him, I'm lucky I listened to my coach and my breeder of like, don't amp, you does not need convincing, like just be chill. Because with Baloo, I was getting into like, you know, the treat chasing and the amping the dog up and super like reward events and all this stuff. Whereas like with Zim, I almost had to dial back on that, because then like days one and two, he's doing stuff really slow, but then like weeks three and four, he's like killing you, because he's like, oh, I really know what you want now. And then so like being able to like almost modulate that is something that I'm still kind of thinking about. And then it's making me change things I do with them. For example, you know, you teach a dog to wait at the back door and then you tell them free and they go through the door. Well, like, that's fine for most dogs, but like now it gets to the point with Zim where like I'm telling him free and he's like a bomb is going out the door, and I'm like, whoa, like this is like, you know. So I'm just wondering, like, if you've experienced things like that, and what you've done, like once the dog kind of picks up, or like modulating their, I don't even know if I'm using that word correctly, but I had a long day, so like their arousal levels within behavior.
I feel like I think about this a lot when I'm teaching something. Like for example, like stupid like household things like get on the couch, get off the couch, like go in your pen, like go in your crate, whatever. Like I fed puppy a little bit in his crate and stuff, but I definitely didn't do the thing that a lot of people do, where it's like, go in your crate or go in your pen, and then I'm gonna like trickle treats every time that you're quiet. Because, like, yes, operantly I'm rewarding him for being quiet, but like, I know him, like, if I keep doing that, like, he's just gonna be quiet, but like,
I'm really fucking quiet now.
how much more quiet can you get? And so I just very intentionally was like, yeah, I'm just gonna use some body language, maybe a little bit of leash pressure to get you to do these things. And like, I'll praise you, I'll tell you you're good, but like, we're not gonna do this like big reward event thing for all of that versus like, if I'm teaching him a middle and I want that behavior to survive like a really high level of pressure and distractions, and like, I want him really enthusiastic, then yeah, like, we're gonna play ball and I'm gonna teach you in play, and like, I'm gonna attach that to that behavior. But I feel like, I don't know if I'm answering exactly what you were asking, but it's kind of like, I feel like I kind of plan for how the thing is gonna go, and then I teach accordingly. 'Cause like, for example, like loose leash walking, like other like stupid pet skill. I mean, not stupid, very necessary, but not like a fun precision obedience skill that we're having fun playing with. I was like, okay, like, I'm gonna teach you loose leash walking where I want you to actually like be zoned in on me and like locked in on me and like really be with me through like a crowd or like that kind of situation. I'm gonna teach that with play, because I know that if I bring out your ball and if I attach a behavior to the ball, then like that behavior is gonna have the same level of arousal as you do for the ball. Versus like, if I'm teaching him loose leash walking for like, look, like, here's a 6 foot leash, like, you can do whatever you want within the confines of the leash. Don't drag me, but like, you can sniff, I don't care. I'm gonna teach that with food for him because he cares about food so much less. And just like a little bit of leash pressure, like things like that. So I feel like I kind of plan for that with those behaviors, especially with him now that I'm more aware. Because like with my other dogs, Frank sort of plays, but it's like a weird whole thing that we can go into if you want. Sunny mostly just like eats. They both eat a lot. So like with Sunny, I taught him a down with food, and he's my lab, and so you can imagine where this is going. And so in his down, when I'm like, cool, 2 minute down during SR, be chill through all these distractions, the neutral dog, me going out of sight, the dog's like in the down, like fucking vibrating, just like being like, where's my fucking food? Even if he has fed and like the entire trial, he's just like in the down vibrating, which is obviously a pain in the ass if I'm trying to get him to do that for 2 minutes without fucking up.
Yeah, so it's similar with Zim and the whole child picture, and this is where it kind of gets beyond, not really beyond pet dog training, because depending on what people are using certain things for, I feel like it does relate, but like I almost have three different down words for Zim because there's different outcomes attached to that.
Yep.
Like, I have to put him in a down before I send him to attack a decoy. If I use that same cue at the park, I might tell him that word. He's gonna hit the ground and then start scanning for shit.
Yep.
Like, where's the guy that I'm biting? And then now that down is gonna carry that baggage of, like, not really baggage for him, but for me, of like, now I'm having a dog in a position thinking they're getting something. And then that anticipation is like leaking into that behavior. Where, like, if I want to put him in a down stay for 3 minutes on the field, I don't want him to think that he's doing a 3 minute down stay waiting for a decoy. So, like, the only way I've really been able to get around it is having different words then for the same behavior.
Yep.
So that there can be different contingencies on it. Like one of them is, talking about the leash walking and stuff. I think because often I've been trying to wonder how to articulate why I think punishment is sometimes the best place to start with certain things. And it's because, like, if I start using food or toys, it's changing the way the dog is looking at that. Like you said with the leash walking, right? Like, if I want my dog to be calmly walking next to me, but I'm using a thing that's highly motivating to my dog, then I'm never going to get that calm walk because my dog's going to be walking with the anticipation of, like, I'm getting a toy, I'm getting food. Like, if you have a dog that's both highly food and toy motivated, like a Malinois or like a Labrador.
Yep. Yeah,
So.
I mean, 100%. I would also say with punishment, I feel like as a person, I really appreciate people who are direct with me and just like clear and tell me what they actually want. And so I see why a dog, especially a highly motivated dog, would get super like amped up and frustrated if we're trying to get him to not do something by constantly managing him with rewards. Instead of just like, dude, I just don't want you to do that. Like, I don't need to like get out of you. Just like, please stop. And then they're like, okay, got it. So this is not work time. This is not like you shoving food in my face or asking me for a bunch of things. Like, this is just do whatever I want except for that one thing time.
Yeah, and I was gonna say, like, and then you're also just to use the leash walking example again, because that's what we were talking about, is when I did it with Baloo in the beginning, I'm trying to like fade out the food,
Yep.
and then he's like expecting the food, but then not getting it, and then that's creating frustration, and then it's turning into this whole thing. Whereas like with Zim, I just basically have like when I say with me, you're not getting food, you're not getting toys, you're not getting shit. If anything, you might get corrected with the leash or just like some leash pressure of like, no, you're not doing that. And then it's that much easier. He's not like, oh wait, when am I getting it? When am I gonna get one on this? Am I gonna get it now? Like it would just be chaos. Like it would be absolute chaos. And like, 'cause you can, like if I told him, heel, then he's gonna be healing like a competitive heel
Yep.
down the road. And what am I, I'm gonna walk for 5 miles like that? Like even
Absolutely.
just like the check-ins, like the looking back, like I don't want you to keep looking at me. I want you to go and be a dog. I don't wanna only reward you for one thing and give you one option when there's only really one thing I don't want you to do, which is pull. Like, so I could just be like, hey, don't pull me on the leash. Do fucking whatever else you want. Like, I don't care. As long as it's not stupid or dangerous.
Exactly.
I have a question on that. You were saying before that one of the issues you were having is he's starting to anticipate running out the back door. Do you find that you've run into that problem when, like, he's in a with me, and then do you find he's anticipating that you're going to release him to just kind of go do his own thing, or is that only specific to the door?
Yeah, sometimes. No, with the door, I meant more like his release is so fucking hard.
That's what I'm saying, though. Like, if you were to
Like, not
release
that he's
him.
anticipating, more just like now what I'm telling him, like when I like if I open his crate door, he doesn't just barge out of his crate, but then when I tell him free, like he's coming out, like he's coming out. Like, you know what I mean? And then it's like, how do I now make you less? I can, like, again, the thing that's like the way that I've kind of fixed that, for example, is if I was walking him out or I wanted him to be with me, I would have to use a different word, but I'm still using that different word as a release.
Yeah.
You
Yep.
know what I mean? Like if I say free, you're a cannonball out the back door. But if I say with me and I step out, like it's still a
Yeah.
release and you're releasing, but it's slower. And then the other, oh, you said the with the anticipating. Yeah, I think the way that I mitigate that, and I don't know, we'll see if she does similar things, or if you guys disagree, but I've just always kind of varied it. Like I don't always like walk and then stop and then send you to free, because then I feel like the dog starts to like, okay, we're stopping and then I'm going. So like I'll stop and then I'll continue and then I'll stop and then I'll free and then I'll stop and call you to me. Like I'll kind of do different things to throw him off so that he's not doing that. But I think the clear with like the windows almost just on the move is what helps with that, of like just being, I don't know, clear with what's happening.
Okay, two things. One about the release, one about the leash walking. So with the release, that's why like I have an okay, which sounds like you're free of just like go find your own fun, go fuck around, chase a squirrel. Versus an enough releases you to liberty, but it's calm liberty. So like you're free, but like chill, like don't go play, don't jump on anything, don't be fucking crazy, like barbecue behavior. But you're free, like on a down, you're not in a crate, but like fucking.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So that's just like kind of how I found like I can be clear about it. And like obviously like in the beginning when I'm teaching it, I just like act different. Like I'll okay them and I'll be like, go be like fucking crazy. And I'll enough them and like I'll have them on a leash in the beginning and like we'll move slow and like I'll act like as chill as I can. And yeah, did you want to say your thing? Because I also had a thought about the leash walking thing, but do you want to go first?
No, go ahead. And I have a question on the enough thing, but go back. You can go first.
So for the leash walking thing, while you were talking about it and like the driven dog just being like food, 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 toy, right? Like, and not just like chilling on their walk. I find that the exact same thing happens in reactivity cases. Walking where people are like, cool, this dog's reactive. And so every time we see a trigger, I'm gonna have you leash walk and there's gonna be lots of rewards and like, look at me and pay attention to me and here's all this food. And my Aussie, who is pretty dog aggressive and used to be like very dog reactive, she will die for food. Like she would jump off a cliff for an old dusty piece of kibble. So like super fucking easy. The dog's 2 feet away, but if she is working for food or if I'm feeding her, then like no problem. But is she okay or is she just like staring at the food? You know what I mean? And honestly, like punishment was one of the things that allowed her to be around other dogs and look at them and like, still respect her boundaries, like not put her in shitty situations, but be like, look, like you are not blowing up and this dog is also not fucking with you. Versus if I was just constantly feeding her and her being like, I'm barely aware of the dog existing here. Like, I just care about the food.
Yeah, no. And then I think when you probably do take out food, it's more meaningful versus like the dog that's locked in on the food. And then with the occasional blow up where they're disconnecting from you, blowing up, and then you're trying to get them back. And then versus just like letting the dog be, maybe stopping things that you don't want them to be doing. And then if you did decide to take food out and do work, like, it's way more impactful.
Yeah, 100%.
I had a question on the enough. Window. So let's say you let your dog know like they're in that window now, and then the dog decides like to do something that you don't like. Are you using specifically, I guess, like just for example, like your enough word, are you saying that again to let the dog know, or do you have like something that kind of means like when you do this, it's followed up with the consequence, whether it's just removal or whatever, but do you have something specific you're saying or doing at that point? Or is it just you're kind of reminding the dog, hey, like you're in this window now?
So, how many times I repeat the enough kind of depends on how early on the dog is. It's kind of like if you're teaching a dog a stay for the first time and you're still in the stay, like I might remind you a few times in the beginning because you're new to this. But I kind of follow Jay's markers for negative consequences or like for mistakes or whatever you want to call it. So, I have an marker, which just means you're doing the wrong thing, like you got to fix it. I might help you fix it. Like, I might use a leash to help you fix it. I might use spatial pressure to help you fix it. But, like, you have a chance to fix it versus a no marker that's like, no, you fucked up. That is, there is a consequence coming. The consequence could just be me, like, I fucking my dog. But if I said no, like, that's it. Like, don't try to fix it. Like, you fucked up. You're getting a penalty.
Don't try to fix it.
And so, yeah, that's honestly, like, kind of. The enough window is almost a little bit like free shaping with punishment. Because you're not trying to teach them to do anything specific. You're like, you can do anything you want except for these specific things.
Yeah, that's why I was asking. I was kind of just curious if it that's why I, like for example, let's say, you're all right, you're allowed to be free in the kitchen right now. Obviously, I don't want you jumping on the counter. So in my head, I was just wondering, like, all right, when the dog's jumping on the counter, if you're using something specific, like no or some whatever your words are, your markers are, I was just kind of curious, or if you're just like using one specific thing or not.
So, I mean, like using like the stay as an example, you would teach it
Yeah.
exactly the same way as like a work word, right? So,
Yeah.
like you say the thing and then you're responsible for the thing until told otherwise. So, like if I ask you to stay, then like I'm gonna tell you, like, if you're staying, like, good job, like I'm gonna give you that feedback. And if you get off of whatever thing you're supposed to be staying on, I'll tell you you're wrong and then like put you back. Like for the counter surfing example, like usually with me, I'll use a lot of of like, that is the wrong thing. Let me show you what you're supposed to be doing instead. Like, get off the counter. And because a lot of dogs will just fuck around and experiment with things that they're not really committed to. They're just like, what happens if I do this?
Right.
And so with those situations, I'll just be like, nothing bad, just like, don't do that. Like, do something else. Versus if a dog is like really committed to doing something that I really don't want them to do, like screaming at dogs or like,
Yeah.
at Liberty, like my lab, like many labs, loves to just like fucking pick things up and put them in his throat and just like, you know, just swallow them as fast as possible. As fast as you can say $5,000 obstruction surgery. So like with that situation where he's not just picking things up because he's like, oh, what's gonna happen? But he's like, no, I am committed to picking this up. Like, this is the one thing I want to be doing. And I'm like, dude, you can literally do anything else, just not that. And he's like, I'm doing that. That's when I'd be like, all right, we're going straight to like, just don't fucking do that.
Okay. Yeah, I was just kind of curious like what you were going to say on it. I don't know. I was just thinking about it a little bit the other day with a client, so I was just kind of curious what you were going to say.
What was the client? What was the case?
It's a Labrador actually, which is that's kind of funny. It's just a Labrador and there was a lot of there's a lot of rewarding for calm and quiet with the other trainer they were working with before. And it was just amping him up too much. So there was just a lot of things that there were a lot of little parts that had to get changed where, all right, we're not rewarding that. We're just going to start teaching you with a little leash pressure. We're going to start teaching you, hey, like when you're done with this, you're allowed to do anything but that. So we were working through like the different markers and stuff for like, you know, hey, don't do this. You're allowed to do anything else. But it was just a lot of screaming, the dog screaming at the owners, like for just a man barking when they would when the wife interestingly would come home specifically in the morning. So like he'd be hanging out with the husband in his office, you know, working, whatever, and then specific to the morning when she would come back, I guess, from the gym or wherever, the dog would just like bark nonstop, nonstop, nonstop. So yeah, it was just the problem got is now resolved completely like a week later, but it was just kind of it was just something like that was on my mind a little bit because like it was a whole process or chain I not process, it was a whole like difference in the way she had to like view the situation and deal with it, if that makes sense. And you know, like once you get into that state to change it sometimes is difficult for like the owner, for example. And like just understanding the concept of being at liberty, I think sometimes the idea makes sense, but I think to actually go about it and to address things that pop up during that time, I think sometimes it's just a little challenging for some clients, I find. Because I think they just get like, they get a little worried, like, oh, the thing's about to happen. Like, he's about to do it now,
Yep.
you know?
I feel like that's really hard for a lot of people, especially people who have gone through other training before, to not just like micromanage the dog constantly and just be like, look, like I'm gonna let you fuck up when it's safe to do so, and I'm just gonna tell you that's not the thing for you to do. And I'm gonna tell you when you're right, I'm gonna tell you when you're wrong, versus constantly just being like, don't fuck up, don't fuck up, don't fuck up. And the dog just being like, well, what if I do?
Yeah, I mean like the concept like was very when I when Vin I think Vinny was actually the person who told me about it about like the Windows concepts and everything, and I just it was very confusing in the beginning for me. I remember like being confused about it in the beginning because it's just a very different way of looking at it, which is kind of funny really when you think about it because it's not even complicated. Like that's it's so funny. You know, it's really not that complicated of a thing. It's just being able to maybe comprehend it or actually like just put it into practice, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I feel like if anything, it's harder to like get your head wrapped around when you come from like a
Yeah.
different style of training versus someone who's never done any training. Like I find that a lot of my clients who are training with me for the first time have never seen a trainer before. They get it so much faster than I did because I had like a different background.
Yeah. Yeah, that would make sense because, like, yeah, no, I think that's the thing that was like what was a struggle for me, honestly, too, because you're looking at it from the way you were looking at it before, and then you're trying to like totally understand this whole different way of looking at it or practicing it, and it's very confusing because you're like, oh, but I see what you're saying, but like, where do I put this here or there, you know?
Right. And
Yeah.
it's a totally different way of living with your dog.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I find it though, like to be super, I think it's like the thing that I was missing as a trainer for those dogs who are just more pushy or like more like those Labradors who are just very like bouncy, enthusiastic, get really like revved up easily. Like you just go to grab a tissue and the dog's like, what are we doing now? Like you blew your nose and the dog is like, so like we're doing something, you know? So I find that like this really does help a lot of those dogs. I think that was the thing that for me, I was missing as a trainer for a while.
I think it's hard when you want that, like as a trainer, I want that dog. Like I want that dog to be really enthusiastic and really motivated and bouncy and happy, but I also really want to just like sit on my couch and for them to just like chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
And I feel like the way that I was training before was like one or the other extreme. Like either you just like take the enthusiasm out, flatten the dog, and they're super easy, but it's like kind of sad. Or you go to the other side and it's like the dog's super enthusiastic and happy, but they're also super fucking frustrated all the time and they're also frustrating the shit out of you all day just being fucking crazy.
Yeah, I know it's so true. Like, I mean, like this Labrador, I mean, we've been working on one thing at a time for the last maybe month and a half now, and it's just so funny how like I don't want to say all the time, but how so much of the time the answers end up being the same. Like when she says, "What do I do for this?" It's like, "Well, you already built this whole thing now with him for all these other things. Why not just use that?" But it's just, yeah, I don't know. It's just definitely the thing that for me I found really was that missing piece in a lot of ways, like just for those pushy or demanding like attention constantly type of dogs, you know, like this dog exactly that I'm talking about. I mean, just constant, like just constant attention seeking, and the food and, you know, play, I think just revved him up so much. And then all of a sudden when we just added basic things like when I say this, it's time to play. And when I say this, it's done. Like just those simple things just like changed it completely for him. Yeah. So I don't know. I just, yeah, it's definitely, like I said, it's definitely the thing for me that I found was like a missing piece. What have you found like with your clients for, I guess I know you said you do mostly BMOD. So, like, what have you found to be maybe the most helpful with all this stuff for them? I mean, I know like that's kind of a very broad question because obviously there's different behaviors that you deal with. But, like, I guess what have you found to be the most helpful with all this stuff, like for a client that maybe is struggling?
So from just like a training approach perspective, I think just like finding a way to be super clear without also being really harsh has been really nice. I think from a follow-through perspective, so not necessarily like a training style perspective, but just like getting people to train their dog for long enough that the dog is actually better and it's not just like, oh God, like we're out of the deep waters. He's not biting the mailman anymore, but like he's still kind of shitty. I think our GRC club has been really helpful because it gives people like specific goals to work towards and ribbons and titles, and that's fun for people. And I find that I've had quite a few clients who came to me because like my dog like bites people, or my dog is super anxious, or my dog is super reactive to other dogs. And instead of them just like fixing it and then dropping off, they've, because of the club, like they kind of stayed on and trained their dogs to a really high level, and then also themselves became really good handlers, and it's just kind of great for everybody.
And you teach classes, like I think you teach like GRC classes, correct?
Yeah, so We offer like a intro to SR class, which is just like how do you feel, like leash walking, liberty, like a middle, a down, whatever, like that stuff. And then I also teach a class called SR Skills for Dogs with Big Feelings, which is basically like your dog already kind of understands all these skills, but how do you actually apply it to the thing that you're struggling with? Like, how do you use it? Or if you have a dog with big feelings and you want a trial, and the big feelings are the thing getting in the way, like your dog can't hold it down while they're seeing the neutral dog because they want to eat that dog, like, how do you deal with that? And those have been really fun classes to teach. It draws a more motivated type of person, which is really fun to work with. And it's nice because a lot of people find it really intimidating to just like show up at a club practice and like take their dog out and like show me what you got. So nice because there's a little bit more structure and a little bit more like, all right, like this is what we're doing. You don't have to like think about what your plan is. Like I will tell you your plan.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I bet, like, I can only imagine, like, I do a group reactivity class, and it's just like an ongoing, like, drop-in type of setup. So it's kind of funny to see. I've been doing it for a year, maybe a little over a year now. And it's funny to see, like, they're the regulars and they're the ones who are super, like, that's the more motivated client. Like, they want to keep coming. And I'm now trying to come up with some other classes for them because they're just, you know, they're more motivated, and I kind of feel like, all right, you've kind of outgrown this group a little bit. But I would imagine, like, because you have the club too, like, there's another end goal that you were teaching, like, certain skills and behaviors, and now, hey, I have this piece I can offer you, and I can bring that same stuff into that, like, club atmosphere almost.
Maybe a GRC club is in your future.
I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, but I mean, it does seem like it would make sense, though, like how it's gonna draw like a more motivated client in a way. And
Yeah.
I think it's nice for like those. I mean, there's some clients who, yeah, I mean, they end up coming to because they want to fix the problem, but then to continue going, like, I think that's what I've been noticing a lot with my class. Like, I kind of knew it in the back of my head, but I don't know why I never really offered it sooner, and just kind of like going through it and seeing them, there's that desire for them, like for them that they want to just keep going and keep like working with their dog because they're actually enjoying spending that time
Right.
and like doing like the skills, you know, like to actually like for some of them to do the skills, even if it's just as simple as the dogs are all in class, and we asked, like, now it's like just kind of like liberty time or time to just chill. And no, like, we don't want you using food. I just want the dog hanging out there. And something as simple as that, which sounds kind of funny, like the amount of people who actually enjoy that because, hey, my dog can actually like just hang out around other dogs without a problem now. Like, that
Yeah.
motivates them to want to do more things.
And it's nice because like a lot of these dogs, like when you have a problematic dog, a lot of times like you just look at that dog as the problem and you're like, how do I fix it? Like I feel like we've all had clients where they're like, my dog is dog reactive. How do I fix the dog reactivity? I'm obsessed with the dog reactivity. I just need to get rid of the dog reactivity. And like the dog's fucking great. Like the dog is awesome. Like they're really fun. They're really like funny. They're really smart and like they're so cool. And like, yeah, they're dog reactive and we gotta deal with it. But like the dog is so great. But all they can see is like my dog screams at other dogs. And it's nice to have an environment where like you and your dog are accepted. Like some sports, if you come and your dog like blows up at another dog, it's like, okay, your excuse, like go. Versus here, it's more like, okay, I understand your dog's reactive. We're gonna deal with it. Like a lot of people here have reactive dogs, but we're also like working towards something. And like when we're done with the reactivity, like there's all this other shit we're gonna work on that your dog is gonna be really good at. Like your dog is gonna like hang on a spring pole and be a fucking monster, or like your dog's gonna pull a shit ton of weight, or your dog's gonna be really good at the obedience. And it's like your dog is all these other things. They're not just like a fucking problem dog. It's nice to see the perspective of the person shift.
Yeah, that's a good point. What other, I was curious, are you doing other sports with the puppy?
Yeah, so I had tried herding with my Aussie for about 6 months on a weekly basis, and it was she's not made for that. Because she will either ignore pressure in herding or she will get mad and bite you for pressure. She's kind of a bitch. Takes after her mother. So now I'm doing herding with my puppy, who is obviously like built and bred for this. We have had one lesson so far from the person that
Oh,
you
yeah.
recommended, so thank you.
You're welcome.
It was really cool to see a dog who is probably going to be like actually good at it versus my other dog who I was just like fighting who she is
Yeah.
until I gave up on that. So we're doing that. I'm also doing Mondi obedience with Frankie with my Aussie. She's kind of old, she's like 9, so hopefully we'll get a level one title on her before she is too old. And then with puppy, I definitely want to do Mondi obedience. And then we might do a little bit of bite work depending on how he develops. I mean, he is very border collie. So we'll see if that will be good or bad for that.
Yeah, I was going to say, especially cattle bred, they have a bite to them, so that'll be kind of cool to see.
Yeah, he's interesting because he likes the chase after you and bite you part, but it's so bred into them that it's like I chase you, I bite you, I let go. Because as a farmer, like you don't want a dog taking down your cow and like hanging on and gripping.
Like a spring pole,
Yeah,
yeah.
it would probably be pretty expensive to replace that cow's leg.
Yeah,
So it's an interesting set of genetics to work with there, especially because he's so, I mean, A, like he likes to bite and release, like that's his thing, like bite, release, bite, release, bite, release, like that's what he likes. And he's also so pressure sensitive in such an interesting way. I'm so used to dogs who either are very hard and don't give a shit about pressure, like my lab. You could zap him at 100 on an e-collar, he's like, do it harder, try me, and he doesn't give a shit. Or like my Aussie, where she's sensitive, but it's the kind of sensitive where then she gets defensive. Or like other dogs who will be like sensitive and soft, but like then like if you put too much pressure on them, they just like shut down and get sad. He's sensitive in that he's like very responsive to pressure, but he's not sad. So he just takes pressure as like, all right, so this is what you want me to be doing. Which is wonderful for training. Like, he's super cool because he can be super aroused and high drive, and he takes pressure really, really well. But if you are doing bite work and the decoy is putting pressure on the dog, and my dog's genetics are telling him, okay, like, we listen to pressure. If he says, get off of the grip, that means I should get off of the grip. Then that is a little bit different than working with a dog who's bred to push into pressure.
Yeah.
So. We'll see if that works out for him or not, but it's a fun learning experience for both of us.
That sounds like fun. I'd be curious to hear how it goes if you end up doing the bite work stuff.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
I've seen a few videos of like some border collies doing Mondio, and they're doing like the whole thing, like they're doing all the bite stuff. I find it interesting. I think it's cool. I tried doing the bite portion with Quest, and she was just so funny. She would be like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bite you." It was that she then would just like start like wanting to play with the person and like socialize with the person. It was hilarious. I mean, it was kind of funny to see when like you see this little tiny, because
That's
she's
cute.
35 pounds, but like, I don't know. Did she do it with you, Vinny? Did you ever use the sleeve with her? I can't remember. Yeah,
Yeah.
she's like bite. She'll bite it, but then she's
Little
like,
tiny
"Oh, I'm so
nibbles.
sorry." Yeah.
Aww.
Oh,
Cutest
I'm
little
sorry.
teeth poking through. Did you notice that your dogs respond to pressure differently depending on like what kind of situation they're in or what they're doing?
Definitely. I mean, also the situation, also the type of pressure. Like going back to my lab, like you could beat that dog into a pulp. Like he does not give a shit. Like he is not physically soft at all. But he's definitely like emotional and like socially softer. So like if I was just to beat the shit out of him, doesn't give a shit. But if I look at him, I'm not like, dude, like, how could you fucking do that? Like, that's really fucked up. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'll never do it again. Right. And then obviously, like, different levels of arousal, I get very different responses. Like, my Aussie, like, if we're like in a chill situation and I'm like, hey, dude, like, don't do that. She's like, okay, whatever, that's fine. Versus if she's like super amped up. And then, depending on the person and the relationship she has with them, they like step in and they're like, did you need to stop? Or like, you can't get to that. Like, she'll get like cunty. So, like, definitely like big difference there. I think that's one of the things that I found really interesting about my border collie. I find that his response to pressure is the most consistent across the board, regardless of how aroused he is, which, if I think about it, like in terms of what he was bred for, like I'm sure it was like pretty useful for a border collie to be able to respond to pressure really well in a really high state of arousal. Like that's what they're supposed to do. So that makes sense to me. But it's just it's different because I find he is more consistent across the board compared to the vast majority of dogs I've worked with. I mean, if you work with like a lot of bully breeds, like there's a very dramatic difference there. Like I work with a lot of bully breeds who are very, very, very soft out of drive, and then in drive, like they do not give a shit.
Do you find that
Interesting.
to be the case though with are you saying you find that to be the case though with your border collie, or you haven't noticed that yet? Because I will say, like, I know that with like my dogs, like I've seen a lot of herding dogs be that way, where when they're out of drive, they might be a little softer, but once they're in drive and they're like really fixated on whatever it is they want to do, they're not necessarily as soft or like, yeah, they'll respond to pressure, but it's definitely not the same.
My Aussie is very much like that. My border collie, I would say, is less like that. But he's also just not, I mean, he's a border collie, so like he's soft-ish, but like he's not. I don't find him very soft in general. Like he's responsive. Like he's not like a bully or like my lab who like doesn't give a shit. Like he pressure and he like responds to it, but he's pretty like stable and consistent across the board, which has made him a lot easier to train.
That would make sense.
It's also, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how he develops because he's just hitting 10 months now. And he's definitely getting more intense in drive. So I don't know. Maybe I'll change my mind in like 6 months.
It'd
Maybe
be
he's gonna be a fucking beast in drive and not give a shit about anything I say.
I mean, it'd be interesting though, also as you do herding, if you continue with it, if you start seeing it show up more there, like, because the first, I would say, I find the first few times a dog is doing it, especially if it's in them and they understand, like, when you watch them, I don't even know how to explain it, but it's almost like you could see that their feet know what to do, but their brain isn't connecting yet. If that makes sense, like their body is doing the motion, but they don't fully register it almost. Like, I know this feels good, I should be doing it. And I find as like once they start getting into the rhythm, that's where I feel like it starts to change a little bit.
I mean, so far we've had one lesson, so like disclaimer, but he was definitely interesting in that when we first just like showed him the sheep and they were all just like in a little enclosure, just like looking at him, he was like, I don't really know what this is. I don't know what we're doing. What is this? I don't really like this. Why are they staring at me? When they started moving and they got let out, he was like, I don't know what I'm doing, but this is fucking amazing. And I like my body knows what to do. I don't know, but this is fucking amazing. And then he turned on and he was just like, yeah, this is what we're doing. So I can definitely see that in him where like once the movement happens, he's like, okay, I understand. Like I don't cognitively understand, but physically I understand.
Like, to follow up with the question on that is like, yeah, because I'm trying to think. The thing that's interesting is like in bite sports, we're like teaching the dog to overcome pressure. from the decoy. And then, at times, that's what I was asking about, like the different, like whether what you're doing with your dog, if they're responding differently. So like there are times where Zim will respond like super sensitive, like very sensitive to pressure. I find that it's when he's like doing something that requires him to be like precise, but he's also like locked into something. So like with him in the sport of mondeering, it's in the contact healing where he's contact healing on me, but he's waiting to be for me to be hit by the decoy. So it's like this push pull where like he's maintaining pressure into me. Like he needs to stay in contact with me, but he's being like drawn away by the decoy, and like even the slightest little correction sometimes to remind him to stay in the contact heel, it'll act like it was like the worst thing ever. But then when he's like in drive actually biting, then it almost seems like he's just like, oh yeah, like this is just part of all of the pressure that I need to be overcoming. Do you know what I mean? Like this is just part of everything. Like I'm like, you're not gonna scare me. Like this is all part of it, and I'm gonna beat it. Like I'm gonna succeed at this. So it's just very interesting, and it makes it like interesting and fun and difficult, and like I like it because I'm like, holy shit, it's like you're almost training two dogs at the same time, and then you need to know like which dog is it at that time, maybe based on what you're asking it to do. And another thing I could think of is it's like if he knows what I'm asking him to do but isn't doing it, and I put pressure on him, he responds way differently than like if he finds what I'm doing not fair. Like if I ask him to sit but he sits, but I really am like, no, I mean down. Like that's a recipe for me getting bit now. Like, you know what I mean? Because he's like, wait, like this isn't, and like for way less of, and like, you know what I mean? Like even just spatial pressure could get me bit in that situation. Like I feel it versus like I could literally correct him in a way that's way more harsh, but when it's fair, and he's like, oh yeah, that's fair.
Yeah,
Like
that's my
you see that a lot.
Yeah, no, that's my Aussie. There was one time I was up in Maine with Jay, and I think I was doing something with my lab, and my Aussie was just fucking around. So he was like, "I'm just gonna ask her for a middle." And my word for middle is safe, but she's an Aussie. She's really fucking smart. So if you look like you want her to do a middle, she's gonna figure it out if you say potato. So he called it middle, and then when she left position, he just used super like mild. Like leash pressure on a wide, like 2-inch flat collar to get her back in. And she got back in position and she gave him just like a little nibble on his thigh. And like, you did not tell me what to fucking do. You did not use the right cue. And then you're gonna fucking wrong fuck you.
Yeah, it's funny too because I'm gonna sound like an insane person now, but like when that happens, like I don't even consider it like my dog biting me. It's like I feel like he's just correcting me for a mistake. Like I'm like, oh yeah, that's because I'm almost like, yeah, that's so fair. Like you're right. Like I'm not like, oh my God, I have an aggressive dog now. I need to work on this. I'm just like, ah, shit, like I messed up. But it's just the first couple of times it was very eye-opening because again, like similar to what you're saying, is like it's never been like I got really mad and like overcorrected my dog, or I'm like popping him on a prong or an e or like blasting him on an e-car and then getting bitten. It's like literally like spatial pressure or like pushing into him in the wrong way, and he's like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing that? And then you like can't take that, which
Yeah,
is super interesting.
understand, and they're like, "Oh, okay, I get it."
And I wonder if there's a component with I think you said it was your border collie that gets very like locked in, because I find that like I'll know like if he's feeling very like locked, and then like I like move into his space, I'm like I gotta be careful about how I'm moving in this scenario, like.
Yep, that was also my Aussie, like with wall climb. She actually really liked it because she's an Aussie and she loves to just like fucking bounce. And in the sport of wall climb, you're supposed to catch your dog so that they don't, break themselves. And you're supposed to catch your dog whether or not they actually like gut the toy. And so If she goes up the wall, gets the toy, you catch her, no problem. Anyone can catch her. She doesn't give a shit. If she goes up the wall and then doesn't get it, and then you
Yeah.
catch her, and she thinks
Yeah.
that you catching her is why she didn't
It's like
get
you fucked me up. Yeah.
but
Yeah.
same thing of like, this is my goal. Get the fuck out of my way. This is what I'm doing. Don't you dare stop me.
That's so
And it's not
interesting.
like she's not gonna like maul you. Like she's not gonna like
Oh,
just.
yeah.
It's just like a bitchy little like fuck
That's
you.
why, like, I don't even consider it a bite. I feel like there needs to be a different bite scale of like just a dog being like, "Hey, you're a fuck," and I'm just
Well, like
letting
you
them
said
know.
before, the dog corrected
Like
you that
the dog's
time.
correcting me because it is very much like that. It's like a little correction, but it's like a little like it's just letting you know, like you're being an ass. You're wrong. I'm right. I don't understand what the fuck you're doing. Yeah, that's funny. That's super funny.
Feel like the more like bite work oriented dogs, like the Malinois, like the Dutchies, like some of the working line shepherds, they're almost a little bit more like a bully breed when in that space. Where like you're in the fight and anything that's trying to get you like off of the fight, it just makes you more excited about the fight. Kind of like what you were saying about Spencer with like getting corrected when he was aroused and just being like, fuck yeah, let's go. I feel like a lot of the Malinois are kind of like that, but specifically in drive when fighting a decoy, not necessarily in their daily lives.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then yeah, because then Zim will be in a state where I'm like, oh my God, I'm not gonna be able to get him out of that. But then if I'm just like, hey, dude, cut it out, like then he'll just stop. He'll be like, oh, you just have to tell me, dude. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's not doing it in a way of like, I'm not listening to you. I don't care about defying what you're asking. He like, it legitimately seems like he's like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, I'm supposed to be overcoming this pressure also. And then if I'm like that's why a lot of times just verbal pressure is what I rely on in those situations. Like I'll just go, hey, and he'll be like, oh shit, yeah. And then I just have to make it super clear. So he's like, oh, this is when you want me to stop biting. Okay, you should have just fucking told me, bro. Like,
Yep.
relax. Like you just like it wasn't that hard. Just tell me, dude. You don't have to yank the leash or do anything with the e-collar. Like just literally tell me not to, and I'll just stop. I would have been happy to.
I feel like a lot of times people, especially trainers, will like underestimate how powerful social pressure is.
Oh yeah.
Like with my Aussie, like I've done all kinds of horrible shit to her about her dog reactivity, and like she just got more fucking aggressive. Versus like when I learn how to properly use social punishment and just be like, dude, like I love you, but like I'm super fucking disappointed in you right now, and like it's not acceptable to try and like eat other dogs. That's not an option. She was super fucking sensitive to that. And she also like it was actually effective. Like it was actually punishing where the behavior reduced versus like the other shit, like the physical shit I've done to her about it. Like it was not punishing. Like it was aversive. She didn't fucking like it. But the aggression did not go down. And I mean, a lot of bullies I've worked with are like that. Like they've been on all kinds of tools and like people have done all kinds of crazy shit to them and they don't give a shit. And like when you develop like a really good relationship with them and then you leverage that relationship to go like, dude, when you do that, I don't fucking like you. Like they're super fucking sensitive to that. And that's super effective.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're right. Or people just overuse it all the time and they don't have a relationship on top of it. And so, like, the dog's like, I don't really give a shit anyway.
Well, I was
Like,
just saying, I think it
yeah.
also makes it hard then too, because like when you said that about like the relationship piece, it's kind of hard sometimes because you can tell the client like what you're saying to do, and then it's like, but do they really have maybe that connection or that relationship to maybe listen to that, or are they just gonna like, yeah, okay, haha.
Oh yeah, totally. Especially the people who are like, what the fuck do you mean I don't have a good relationship with my dog? Yeah.
Yeah, no, but it's true though. Like it was funny today, I had a new client and the dog is young and just being very pushy with their other dog. Like they just brought this young dog in the home and he came in like a hurricane and all he wants to do is play. Like that's all he wants to do is like play, 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 but he's just so obnoxious and they didn't know how to like manage this with their other dog who's super social, but just soft and like wants to play, but doesn't want to play like this like maniac, you know, like the other dog. And it was funny because it's like, all right, we're just gonna like set some clear rules, simple as like putting him on a leash, tethering him, holding the leash, helping him to realize, hey, you just gotta chill now. Like, this is not time to be just running around in circles in the room. And then we started going over like how to just play. And it was so interesting because they were like, wow, he really likes you. Like, he's just like following you. He's not like bothering with the other dog before. We've never had this happen before. And in my head, I was just thinking, yeah, it's, you know, like, imagine if I wanted to say something like what you were saying a second ago. It was like, yeah, that dog would probably be laughing. Like, if I like said, yeah, you know, almost like make it, put a little social pressure on him, like shun him a little bit, like, what's the matter with you? Like, the dog would be like, like, yeah, okay, very funny. But then, like, it was interesting because as I started seeing this dog just follow me around, it was funny. I was thinking to myself, oh, you know, like if we had to do something like that, this dog would be very responsive right now, even though I've only been here for like a little over an hour. You know, it's, yeah, I don't know. I think it's a difficult conversation to navigate though with with a client.
Right, because also then it's like you run into the people who are like, cool, you told me to put social pressure on my dog, and then they're like, dude, fuck you, fucking stop it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I said put pressure on your dog, I didn't say fucking scream at your dog. Like, don't just like vent all of your fucking frustration into your dog. Like, set a boundary. Like, there's a fucking difference. And then you also run into the people who are just, like you were saying, like constantly just like, knock it off, not this, not that, hey, this, hey, that. And the dog's like desensitized, and he's like, this is all you ever fucking say to me. Like, it doesn't even mean anything anymore.
Same with praise too, like just praising all the time just for existing, and then trying to use it at the right time is also, you know, then it's like, oh yeah, but you praise me just for like taking a dump, so it's
What a good
the
example, Vinny. Very good.
difference.
My favorite is when you're trying to teach the dog like an actual skill and they're praising the dog when they're doing it and also praising the dog when they're like fucking it up. And the dog's just super fucking confused because I think I'm doing a good job all the time, but I'm not sure.
That's why my girlfriend's gonna be mad at it. Hopefully she doesn't listen to us, but I always criticize her with her dog is like when she's like mad at him and like happy with him, it sounds the same. I'm like, what are you mad right now? Or are you happy? Like she's like, no, what are you doing? Why are you doing it like that? I'm like, oh my God. So yeah, I can make fun of, so I'm not making fun of a client. It's my own girlfriend doing
I
it.
mean, I'm just like your girlfriend.
Yes.
Do as I say, not as I do. Yeah, because like
Yes.
my awesome will be like literally fucking licking the table, staring straight at me, being like, do, and I'm like, but you're so cute.
You're so cute though. You do that.
I do it.
Yeah, I definitely have allowed them to do certain naughty things. So I just think it's funny, like carries a towel around the house. And then he like brings it right up to me, and then when I go to touch it, he like turns his head so that I can't reach it. And then as soon as I stop reaching, he like puts it near me again. And then he like turns his head away again. I'm like, you little fuck. Oh man,
Like, I
that's
could
funny.
fix it if I wanted to, but I just don't want to.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like
Oh my God.
request stealing socks. Like, I think it's kind of cute because she's so small and she throws the. Like, I was on a Zoom call one day with. I don't know if it was a customer. I think it was. And all of a sudden, you just see a sock fly in the background. I didn't know that she was behind me, like playing with a sock she found. But like, it was funny because it flew in the background like two or three times in the meeting. And I wasn't paying attention to it. I was too busy looking at like the screen where, like, you know, you see everyone's face. So I wasn't looking at me. So then my client finally goes, oh, what's going on back there? So what do you mean? And they're like, well, we've seen the sock fly by two or three times now. So I just haven't stopped her. This thing is kind of adorable, honestly. So I just leave it alone. So, tell everyone where they could find you and follow you on social media, all that good stuff.
Alrighty, so my company is called Chromatic Canine, so you can find us at Chromatic dot Ah, oh, Jesus, not at Chromatish, at chromatic-canine.com. You can also find us on Instagram at chromatic underscore canine, K like the letter and nine like the number. And then my GRC club is called Technicolor GRC. We're on Instagram and also Facebook. If you're in Massachusetts, join the Technicolor GRC group and come check out a practice. We're nice, we don't bite.
Just the dogs.
Yeah, it's my dogs.
It's
Just kidding, it's not just my dogs.
just your dog.
And then, I mean, those are kind of the main things. I'm actually doing some SR testing in California, in the Bay Area, coming up
When is
December
that?
26th.
When is that?
December 26th.
Think I don't know if this is going to be out by then, but do you have anything else coming up? Do you have anything else coming up though, just in case that doesn't?
So I'm judging a trial at South Shore GRC in Mass on, I believe, January 18th. And then I have a seminar in North Carolina on February 1st for
Nice.
GRC Foundation. So
Cool.
contact Carolina GRC for a working spot for that. I'm not sure if there is anything left, but maybe. And then we're also doing some SR testing down in Pennsylvania at John Clausen's place. I think it's April 5th. And I think that's kind of the upcoming events tab. But I might be forgetting something.
Okay. You have to come up and bring Quest. I think that'd be fun.
Oh, do it.
I'll
We'll have a good time.
bring Zim for a 3-minute liberty.
He can bite.
Oh, man.
Well,
Well, thanks
thank
for
you.
coming on. It was nice to
Thanks.
finally talk to you face to
Yeah,
face.
thanks for coming
Yeah.
on.
Same. Thank you for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Canine Classroom. If you liked the show, make sure to smack that like button, share the show with your friends, and give us a rating. Until next time, class dismissed.